I would say there's been many times in my life, in my adult life, being a minister, that I've been called upon in the last minute to bring forth a word. But there's been very few times that the Lord just quickened my heart in such a way that I knew exactly what I was going to be speaking on, what the Lord would have me to say. We could stand together for the reading of God's Word. Samuel, starting at the first verse, Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid in wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you today, Lord, and open up your words that we would understand your word just a little bit more, that you would hide your word in our heart, Lord, as David said, that we might not sin against you. For Lord, we are a sinful people. We are a people that like to do things our own way. But Lord, help us to deal with that in spite of ourselves and put more of you inside of us, God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The story that we're beginning to read upon is the story of, I'm sure you know it well, of Saul going to destroy the Amalekites. And God telling Saul that he wanted him to utterly destroy everything the Amalekites had. Now, Saul had been king for a while, and this is yet one of his many times of disobeying the word of the Lord. Back in, I don't know, maybe Dennis can help me out here, because he's a real music buff. Back, I guess it was in the 50s or 60s, Frank Sinatra wrote a song, "I Did It My Way," or sang a song, I don't know if he wrote it or not. "I Did It My Way." And, you know, the song had some popularity, but I think more importantly, I think it speaks to the tone of the people in the world today, of doing it my way. And this was Saul. Saul did things his way. He'd been king a while. You know, at first he was a very honorable man. God called him. But Saul, as he began to have more power, more authority, had been in that kingship position for quite a while, began to allow God's presence to depart from him and allow himself to do things the way that he wanted to do them. So Samuel comes to Saul and says, "Saul, God wants you to destroy the Amalekites. Wipe them out completely. Don't spare anything. Do you understand?" "Yes, I understand." So Saul gathers together an army, and it's a pretty tremendous army. In verse 4, it says they gathered 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men from Judah. So 210,000 at least of an army strong. Now, for a small little country like Israel, that's pretty impressive. That's a pretty big army. And they're coming against one city, Amalek. And in that city, I don't know how these people got there, but there's also there the Kenites. And the Kenites are from descendants from Jethro or Moab, of the race of people that also followed the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know, Moses' father-in-law. And Saul told them, said, you know what, you guys have been good. You guys are good guys. You helped out my people. You've been a friend of my people. So, you know what, you better get out of town, lest we are going to destroy you with them. So you better go. So the Bible says the Kenites left. So now Saul and his armies are coming in to wipe out the Amalekites. And the Bible says that when it came down to wiping everything out, they saved the king's life, Agag. They saved the best of the sheep, oxen, calves, livestock. They saved the best. The stuff that nobody wanted, that wasn't good for anything, they wiped that out. But they saved only the best. And God came to Samuel at night and spoke to him. And he said, I have repented in my heart of making Saul king, because he has yet disobeyed me yet again. And the Bible says that Samuel wept and cried all night long and pled with the Lord, because it grieved him so. Because Samuel really loved Saul. He loved Saul. And so much of the time, we as a people, we as a generation, we want to do things our own way. We want to go our own way. We want to come and go as we please. We want to do things our own way. But don't you know today that there's costs and consequences for doing things your way? That you're going to have to pay a price if you don't listen to the Word of God. So, the children of Israel, how much trouble would they have avoided if Saul would have hearkened the word of the Lord and completely and utterly destroyed everything the Amalekites had? Would they have difficulties today? Who knows? How much of the Amalekites are in the Palestine and all these other nations that are coming against Israel, ones that they're struggling with and having problems with today? How many of those would be gone if Saul would have listened to the word of God? How many situations in your life would not be there had you listened to the word of the Lord? So Samuel wakes up early in the morning and goes to meet Saul. And Saul, as all of us good Sunday Christians do, we stand up, put on our best clothes. Ah, Samuel, bless be the man of God. Good to see you. Samuel doesn't have a smile on his face. His heart's broken. Samuel, we've done at the word of God what he told us to do. We've totally wiped out the Amalekites. It was a tremendous victory. You should have been there. Man, we just walked through them like tissue paper. Oh, you did. Well, what is this bleeding that I hear in my ears coming from sheep? And what are the lowing that's coming from the oxen? What is this I hear? Well, you know, Samuel, God loves sacrifice. He loves the offering. And we just thought it would be best to say this so we could really give this to God. You know, that is such a lie. Don't we do the same thing? Don't we ask God and say we do things our own way, and then we get this little thing or trinket that we wanted? Well, God, this is going to be for your glory. And the truth of the matter is, we wanted it in our hearts. We wanted it for us. We didn't want it for God. We wanted it for us. Because you know what? When we do things our way, it is selfish motivations that push us in that direction, and selfish motivations keep us there. And on a little further, this is what Samuel says to Saul. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity of idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed and the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." And Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." How many of you know that sometimes there's a place that we walk, sometimes there's a place that we go, that we may never come back from? That we walk in that direction, and if we continue going in that path, we're gone. That your heart is so hardened. The Bible calls it kind of your conscience seared with a hot iron, being turned over to a reprobate mind, that you don't even have the thought of God in your heart or your mind anymore. This was Saul. This was Saul. He wasn't truly sorry for what he'd done. He just wanted Samuel's approval. He thought he could buffalo Samuel. And this was breaking his heart. So much of the time, perhaps there's been a mentor or someone that, a spiritual leader in your life, that maybe times that you've walked away and it's broken their heart, and they've had to tell you some hard things, to tell you the truth. How many times have you sat in a service and a preacher you felt like was preaching right at you? How many times? But Saul wasn't truly sorry for what he'd done. He was sorry that he got caught. He was sorry that Samuel even showed up in the first place, because he felt like that if he hadn't showed up, that he could have swept this under the rug, that no one would have known. And Samuel would have just walked in one day and said, "Yep, we wiped them all out. See, there's nothing here. Big hole in the ground. Come on, let's go. We have got a party going on." But how many of you know that you can't escape the eyes of the Lord, that he sees all, he knows all? Let me open up my notes here. You know, there's three reasons that we, as Christians, people that go to church, maybe even people that don't go to church, there's three reasons that we don't follow God completely, that we don't surrender all, as the worship team was singing that song, "I Surrender All." There's a reason that we don't completely surrender. One is personal gain. What's in it for me? What do I get from this deal? How many times have you guys, and I've been guilty of this, I've prayed this way, "God, if you will do this, I will serve you forever." It's Sometimes we make God into Monty Hall. Let's make a deal. God, man, if you give me this job, oh, man, I'll walk through hell and back for you. Will you? Probably not. Because you know what? When we try to make deals with God, we're still trying to do things our own way. We're still trying to walk in our own imaginations and desires. The second reason is, what will the inner circle think? What will the people that are closest to you think? Here's Saul. What did he do? He blamed it on the people. I was afraid of the people. And you know what? It's true. People carry a big voice. People carry a big voice. And this is, again, me. I'm telling on myself. How many times I've been sitting in my vehicle, kind of worshiping and praising the Lord, and then someone pulls up alongside me, and I just, you know, I'm singing at the top of my lungs, and I'm just praising the Lord, just having myself a good time, and someone rolls up right next to me, and all of a sudden, I just kind of quiet down and hunker down a little bit. Don't want them to think I'm weird. Friends, family, man, what are they going to think of me? What are they going to think of me if I totally step off into faith? What are they going to think of me? And the third reason is, what does the outer circle think? The people that are not closest to us, just the general population. How many of you guys have ever been a secret agent Christian? Don't bust my cover. Can't find out if I'm a Christian at work. God, help me. I can honestly say at least I didn't walk in that direction. I mean, even in school, and I thought, well, they're going to think I'm weird anyway, so I may as well just go all out. You know, when we do things our own way, that kind of self-indulgence leads to one thing, Satanism, sin. It points us in that direction. It starts us walking in a path that is completely against God. And that's truly what sin is. You know, we always seem to be going on feelings in this day and age. We go by what feels good, what, you know, there's a saying that says, if it feels good, do it. Get yours. You know, you're the most important person to you. You know, all these things point back to that self-indulgence, the same thing that Saul was going through. You know, I want to read to you two separate stories of God calling individuals. First in Mark 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." I want you to look at that, take up the cross. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You know, I want to tell you something today, and I'm sure you know this. Salvation is free. Salvation is free. But putting your faith in the cross is going to cost you. It's going to cost you. And if you think that it's not, talk to anyone who has put their faith in the cross, and I guarantee you, it's cost them friends, it's cost them money, it's cost them position, it's cost them the things in this world that they look forward to, that they seek after, it cost them that. Because fellowship with God is enmity with the world, and fellowship with the world is enmity with God. You can't have it both ways, my friends. You can't have it both ways. Now go with me to the book of Acts. Chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, the synagogues, and that if he found any of this way, anyone that was seeking, serving the Lord, that were Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now we know the story of Paul, who was Saul and had his name changed to Paul, that when he heard the word of the Lord, he was probably even more wicked man than the first. But when he heard the word of the Lord, he immediately dropped all, left it all behind, and pressed toward the mark of the high calling of God. Both of them were called. Both of them were called. They both had to endure the sufferings of the cross. One chose, no, I'm not going to give up what I got. I like to watch nature shows, Discovery Channel, science, all that kind of stuff really interests me. And I was watching one several years ago, and they were talking about, survival out in the Kalahari Desert. And the Bushmen, what they would do is they would get themselves a hunk of salt. I guess salt is plentiful over in that region. There's little crystals of it everywhere. He would get themselves a hunk of salt, and they'd carry it with them. And when they ran out of water and they didn't have any more water, what they would do is they would get like a gourd and tie it to a tree and wait for some monkeys to kind of watch what they're doing. And they would take that hunk of salt and kind of show it to the monkeys. Ooh, look what I got. And drop it in that gourd. And the gourd would be such a dimension that you could stick your hand in, and if you grabbed the salt, you couldn't pull your hand back out. And these monkeys were so silly that as soon as the guy walked away, they had to know what was inside that gourd, and they came a-running to find it. They saw that salt in there, reached their hand in there, grabbed the salt, to pull it, couldn't get their hand out. So he would grab that monkey, because the monkey wouldn't get away. He wouldn't turn loose of the salt. He wouldn't turn loose of the silly thing of salt. He sees a guy coming to get him, won't turn it loose. The guy catches the monkey. Now, to make so I don't leave you hanging here. What he does is he gives the monkey all the salt that he can eat, and the monkey gets very thirsty. And, you know, the monkeys always know where water is, so he just turned that monkey loose after he ate all the salt he could stand. And his thirst was just like, I don't care if a lion jumps me, I'm getting to that water hole. And he'd follow the monkey to water and get his water. But the thing is, we're that monkey. Somebody drops a little dauble or bauble of whatever in that gourd, we stick our hand in, and when Satan comes along to get us, we're too stupid to let go of it. We're holding on to that hunk of salt, that thing that is seems so valuable, and when we're ready to get zapped, we don't turn it loose. We hold on to it. We can't get our hand back out of that jar. And the only way that we can do it is to turn loose of it and follow after God's way. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. And ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" You know, now I'm kind of going in a different arena of doing it my way. Now I'm looking at the leaders in the churches today that are doing it their way, that have turned their back on the gospel of grace. And I found a new and better way. This will really help people. I know what the Bible says, and that's good, but people need to hear a new word from the Lord today. They need to hear a real message that's really going to help them transform their lives, because, you know, this was the old way of doing things. And people are going through some new problems today, and they need something more. They need something more than what the Bible has. When will we come to our senses and realize that it's by the grace of God, by hearing the word and the preaching of the cross, that's going to transform your life. That's going to change your situation. That's going to break the bonds that are holding you down. That's going to take away that depression and hardness that you feel in your heart. When are we going to get to that place? When are we going to understand that it's through Christ alone that our problems can be solved and our situations changed? Not by holding on to that lump of salt in a bottle. Further on, in verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What is iniquity? What is Jesus saying here? Iniquity is anything that points away from the cross, that points away from Jesus. Anything that leads you away from Christ is iniquity. It is enmity with God. These so-called ministers, these ravening wolves in sheep's clothing, would try to give you that little trinket, try to get you to reach your hand in that bottle to grab that thing that you can't have. Tell you, you know what? If you do things the way that I tell you to, you buy my book, you donate to my ministry, God's going to pour out blessing that you can't contain. You're going to be flying your own private jet. You're going to have money. It always comes down to money, doesn't it? Money. That's how they really get your attention. It's not, you know, hey, I've got the real answers for the things that you're going through, the sin that's in your life. I know how you can get, how you can rid that. It always comes down to money. And I bet you, you know what? Where it says, by their fruits ye shall know them, that's one right there. If the bottom line is money, you can bet your bottom dollar they're, what they're selling ain't worth the paper it's written on. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out, folks. How many times have we been faced with an opportunity of so-called friends or family? They get involved in something that's a kind of like a get-rich-quick scheme. And maybe, you know, for some people it's worked out. But they come to you and you're like, we got this great opportunity. If you get involved in this long-distance phone company or, you know, selling this or selling that, well, it's not just that. They want you to come underneath their circle, so they just keep growing and growing, and like a big pyramid scheme. Man, you could spot that coming a mile off. All you need is just one time getting stung, and that's it. You'll remember for the rest of your life. You'll never forget. We can identify those that are preaching iniquity. And you know what? We still have to pray for those people that they're in influence over, because they're being sold a bill of goods. That's not right. We have to get back down to the brass tacks, folks, of preaching the real gospel message, the real truth. The truth that will transform your life, that will change your life completely. It may not make you rich. You may have to walk through the fire. But there's glory on the other side, folks. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not stayed from the fire. They had to go through that fiery furnace. You don't think that they were scared? Yeah, their voice was saying, you know what? Know this, Nebuchadnezzar. We may die in that fire, but we're still not going to serve you. They may have been saying that because that's what they believed in their heart, but I guarantee when they were getting carted off to that fire, they felt the heat from that fire. They thought, maybe this is it. Maybe we are going to die. Because I'll tell you what, I don't care how strong your faith is. When you're in the middle of the storm, your mind starts playing tricks on you. You just don't walk through it completely. Praise God, I've got faith. I'm going to just move this mountain and it's going to move out of my way. When you're in the middle of it, when you're facing that fiery furnace, there may be something, a little fire kindling inside. But you know what? If you keep your faith in God, He'll always carry you through it. Always. Always, always. Because the Bible says this life is but a vapor. What we have in this world is that little lump of salt. It's not worth it. Because on the other side of eternity, where, you know, we are eternal beings, we are going to live forever, but where do you want to go, up or down? Because you're going to live somewhere forever. You're either going to live in glory with God forever, or you're going to live in hell, lake of fire, forever and ever, separation from God, forever, no hope of ever being redeemed. And you know, as crazy as it sounds, there's still some people even today that are preaching, you know what? Even those that are lost in the fire, eventually God is going to come get them. Hello, is this something that's too much? Now there's a place that you can go to this church or group or whatever, and now you can live any way you want to, because it doesn't make a difference. Even if you go down, eventually you'll be brought back out. Boy, if that isn't going your own way, I don't know what is. We need to stop doing things our own way. We need to stop chasing after people trying to get you to do things your own way. Try to go against the gospel. There's all kinds of things out there that will lead you astray. Drugs, alcohol, jobs, position, money, you name it. They're all lumps of salt, every last one of them. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't provide blessing. He does. But in His path and His direction, there is blessing. When we walk His way, there's shelter. There's refuge. You know, you may be here today and going through the storm of your life. All those people selling those lumps of rock salt, they don't have the answers for what you're really going through today. They say that they do, but they don't. You know, as the pastor said, what do you do on day 41? 42, 43. Do you go back and start over again? It's about what you have to do because there's not going to be any hope. There's only one place of hope, of nailing it to the cross. Nailing it to the cross. Because there is our only hope and our refuge. There is a place of shelter that you can't escape from and you can't run far enough away from. Because God, He'll leave the 99 and come after you, the one. If you put your faith in Him, He'll never let you go. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, He is going to hold on to you. He's not going to let that happen to you. If you even just turn His way just a little bit, He'll hold on to you. We've got to hold on to that cross, folks. We've got to hold on to the gospel message of Christ, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Nobody. We'll start to close. In Isaiah 55, starting in verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for you, for each and every one of us sitting here. If you think He doesn't, you've been sold that lump of salt. Because the Bible says the calls and the gifts of God are without repentance. God never takes them back. What He gives you, that He expects you to do something with. You know, the parable of the talents, where one had five, and another had three, and another had one. They all had talents. But the one who was wicked and slothful buried it in the ground and hid it. Didn't use it, didn't try to do something with it. The other two tried to do something with their talents, as God gave them ability to do. And they had more. They doubled their talents. I'm going to ask you a hard question today. This is just an inside question for you and the Lord. What have you done with your talents today? Have you been walking your own way? Have you been doing your own thing? Maybe you haven't totally been walking your own way. But maybe when the difficult situations come along in your life of God prompting you to action, prompting you to, would you do this? That maybe you say, well, I'm too busy. I can't give up that time. Maybe God is asking you to read your word more. Maybe he's wanting to mature you inside, to have a more desire to seek after his face, to spend more time in prayer, more time seeking in his word. Maybe you're walking your own way in that direction. Maybe you're not following the will of God. Maybe there's circumstances and situations in your life that Satan has lied to you, and those things have kept you from walking God's way. That you're doing this for self-preservation. I have to go this way because if I don't, this is going to happen. You know what, folks? Any way you cut it, walking in your own way leads to one place. That's destruction. Let's stand to our feet. Every eye closed, no one looking around. I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I walking my own way? I'm looking around and people that I see are consistently here. I know a lot of you personally. You know, one thing I do know, that you never know anybody. You may think you know me. I may think I know you. But I know there's another side that nobody sees but God. And it's that side I want to ask. Are you walking your own way? When you're just privately between you and God right now at this moment, He's asking you, are you walking your own way? Because deep down inside, I know each and every one of us, in some way or fashion, we have not surrendered all to God. In some way, some capacity, we're still holding on to that lump of salt. Maybe we're not completely walking in the way of destruction, but it's also preventing us from receiving the full blessing of God. It's also hindering us from God completely moving in our lives. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above all names, Lord, I ask you today, Lord, forgive us of walking our own ways, God. Lord, help us that we could completely surrender all to you, not holding even the smallest part back, God. Lord, let us not be like Saul. Lord, that when you ask us to go, that we hold back the best part for ourselves. When you ask for something to be, for us to relinquish something in our lives, that we don't hold on to that regardless, God, because that is the very thing that Satan uses to build the wall that separates us from you. God, help us to this day, Lord, to put a mark down as we start this new year. Lord, that we would completely surrender everything to you, God. And in doing that, draw closer to you. To begin to have that deeper relationship with you that you so desperately want for us, God. Because, Lord, the more and the deeper that we become with you, God, the more of you comes out of our lives. That we begin to think like you, God. That we begin to do things like you, God. Lord, draw us closer to you. For Lord, you are not the sinful one. You are not the one that needs change. But us, we need change, God. And we need it now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just have a time at the altar here, just gather together, everyone that would, and just seek the face of God. I'm not going to ask anyone to step forward. I'm not going to ask anyone to step out of their comfort zone, so to speak. But if you feel like that you want special prayer this morning for whatever reason, know that there's always going to be the "I'll pray for you" and we'll have the elders of the church pray with you, and God will meet you there. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance. Let's just lift our hands. Begin to worship God. As a sign of submission, Lord, take away that selfish motivations in our heart, God. Make us more like you. Lord, help us to have that deep, deep relationship with you, because that's really what it's all about. That is what Christ died on the cross for, so that our relationship could be restored, that sin had separated us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross. Thank you for suffering, that our relationship could be restored to God. For God so loved the world. He loves you today. He wants you to know that He loves you. He loves you with a greater love than you've ever known. And He wants that relationship with you. He wants that relationship with you. He has so much to show you, so much to offer. But in your heart, you pull away. He's asking today, would you come back home? Would you draw closer to me? Would you have a deeper relationship with me than you've ever had in your life? Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is saying that if you do this, you will never know such victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anyone that would like to have special prayer?